You're listening to the Mom Inspired Show, Episode 6 with Melissa Sharp.
Welcome to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day.
Hey guys, I'm super excited for this episode with Melissa Sharp. She is a writer and a speaker, and she dives into her childhood and how she was a fatherless daughter and how that shaped her to be the woman that she is today. She is super witty and funny, and she honestly loves being real and authentic on her Instagram posts and really values being transparent. We talk about her motto that she has in her household with her two girls, "Leave no girl behind," and what that looks like. And as moms, the importance of teaching our daughters how to treat other girls. Be ready to be moved and laugh along the way. Let's go to the show. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So I like to start off every show with an icebreaker. I love to travel, so it's always fun for me to ask people where they have vacationed. So what is your favorite vacation spot that you have gone to and why? And this can be with or without kids.
Favorite vacation spot, hands down, is Disney World with my daughters, our little girls, hands down.
What did you love about it?
You know what it is? It's seeing the innocence of children on full display and how they just believe everything. And you, as a parent watching it through your kids' eyes, you fall for it. Like you buy all the things, you eat all mm-hmm. the things, you just experience it through your kids. And, it's just the innocence in a world that's so eager to strip our kids of everything make-believe and innocent. It's the most magical place on earth.
Now, I want to ask you and be honest here, because, but was it crazy at all? Like, did you feel crazy?
Well, I felt crazy when I was planning the vacation and I was reading like 4 different Disney blogs so I could figure out the best week to go based yeah. on the calendar year.
Yeah. So,
but being there, not at all. We went during a low time.
Oh, okay.
And it was perfect.
But low time still at Disney, there's still a lot of people. So you didn't feel rushed to get on certain rides or get into restaurants and all that. That didn't bother you at all.
No, because I learned the power of planning. Yeah. And when you do it and you stay on resort, you plan everything out ahead of time. And I liked with having little kids, that schedule was there and ready to go. So it was good. It was really good.
I will say we went in April. That's a lower season. And it was crazy. And it was super, super hot. So that's why I asked you that question, because it was nuts. Okay. And my 5-year-old was the one melting down over my 2-year-old. So that I wasn't anticipating that. And it was 80 something degrees in April. So it was way hotter. So that added to the level of craziness. And so I do think that certain personalities handle well, because I am a planner at heart. So I did plan, and I even had a Disney specialist help me plan that trip so that I wouldn't go crazy. And it's a lot. And so that's why I wanted to ask you that. And I do know that some people, they totally are like, oh, it doesn't bother me. I love it, blah, blah, blah. And then there's some people are like, I don't ever want to go. I don't want to be with all those people. So that's why I asked you that question. So, but that's exciting. And where did you stay? What property?
We stayed at the Caribbean Beach Resorts.
Oh, yeah. That's on my list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was all right. It was okay. We barely spent any time in the room, to be honest.
Yes.
We lived at the park. So, yes. And you know, when we were there, it was 90 degrees.
So it was like, hot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was hot. I'm doing the Canadian conversion in my head.
Yeah.
And because I'm Canadian, it was glorious.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind the 90, yeah. although it gets very hot here too.
But yes, it does.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's get started. How about you tell us a little bit about yourself, which you mentioned that you're Canadian, and just tell us how you got to where you are today.
Well, you know what? It started for me. It was a really long road. I was in my early 20s and early married, and I had actually gone to college for something different. I worked in group homes working with the developmentally disabled, and I did a lot of personal support work and had always had this, desire within me to write, to just kind of share life experiences through words. And I actually never did anything with it. And after a few years, I just slowly felt this dawning, I guess you would say, that there was something more for me to do in life. And I had, you know, come into this personal relationship with God and got religion, I guess some people would say, and just kind of realized that there was more that was destined for me. And I have a pastor, actually, who was like a spiritual father to me. And he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And so it was actually those around me who were in leadership that recognized that God had put a gift in me and had started giving me opportunities. And I started teaching in the church, 12 years ago, I think I had started very slow, just started with a small group of women who would listen. I was young. I was naive. I had a lot to learn and just spent years teaching. And I had just had my second daughter, who's now 5. So it was a few years ago. And I had remember sitting at my kitchen table, and at this point, I had been doing some traveling. I was getting booked for speaking at women's events at different churches and so forth, and the years of labor that I had put into that had started to pay off, I guess you could say, and I was learning a lot along that road, and I just really felt that the Lord had just impressed upon me that there was more. And I remember sitting at my kitchen table with a cup of coffee and just kind of pouring my heart out to God and Him just speaking to my heart and saying, I've given you a gift, and if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And I felt that was a rebuking. That was pretty harsh, but it really made me want to know what it was that He had put inside me. And so I went to my husband. And I said, I need to write. God has given me this gift to write, and I don't write. I write for speaking, but writing for speaking and writing to be a writer are two very different things. And so I was going to draw upon my past, and it was just this little dawning inside of me again to use my past as the fatherless daughter and write about it. And I had decided to embark. This was a week before January 1st, and I had decided to embark on a year-long journey where I would write for 365 days for that entire year on where God showed up that day. And my husband listened to me, and his first reaction was, "She'll never see this through." And I think that's a human reaction. I think a lot of times we have these lofty goals and these lofty dreams, and I'm a bit of a procrastinator. So he just knew that there's been lots of times when I've started things and I've never finished them. That's something that I know about myself. And I guess people call me a visionary, and I jump from vision to vision sometimes. But I think that this was one of those things where God was coming in and going, no, I'm going to teach you more than just writing. I'm going to teach you discipline. I'm going to teach you how to be a good mother. I am going to teach you how to be a good wife. God is so multi-layered when He calls you to something. It is never what you think it's going to be. So that January 1st, I started, and I did. I wrote a blog online that I actually never really told many people about. I shared it a little bit at some speaking engagements that I did, and family and friends knew about it. Women from the church had followed along. But I just wrote every day about where I encountered God that day as a fatherless daughter. And something radical had happened halfway through. I broke emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And I recognized that our sin is not welcomed in God's presence. And God had taken me on this journey where I was encountering His presence every single day. And so the sins that I had hidden, that I didn't even recognize were struggles, started coming to the surface. And so I was open and raw about it and was blogging about it on this journey. And I finished on day 365. And I remember it was like a mourning. Like I was weeping and sobbing, laying on the floor we had a studio in our house where my husband works and I do my writing. And I was laying on the floor sobbing because I felt like God had just ripped me inside out. And it was during that journey that 3 years ago that I realized that I'm a writer and that God had really created me to be a writer. And there was just a way to reach people through the written word that maybe I wasn't necessarily doing through the spoken word. And that project, which is a whole story on its own, and what happened with that project, then led me to the same pastor who has been with me and teaching me for so long, had asked me to take on a role as the devotional writer for the new Gateway app that was launched. And so, and that's what I do now. I'm a devotional writer. I write series. We're launching a new website and a new blog. And I'm going to be starting on a second manuscript from what I learned through my whole first project. And so that's kind of that's where I am today. And to be honest, it was a lot of labor. It was a lot of God taking me out to the woodshed and cutting me off at my knees, teaching me a lot of lessons in humility and just life lessons in general. But my career as a writer and as a speaker just started amping up about 3 years ago. Now, and so that's...
I was just going to say, what do you find that you like best, speaking or writing now?
Do you know what? I can't pick one over the other because... Mm-hmm. It's a different experience each way. And so speaking is amazing because I live out a lot of like the illustrations that I use when I'm speaking, I live them out and God gives me a lot of really funny stories. And so I love connecting with women that way. I love seeing their reactions. I love seeing their faces. I love seeing the light bulb moments when I'm on the stage and I'm teaching and we're getting into the scriptures and God's word is coming out of my mouth. It's unbelievable. It's an incredible feeling because there's a gratefulness that comes with it. And I know that God is with me and he's given me such a passion for it. And when it comes to writing, it's a totally different process. And when I go through rewrite and I see the final product, I can see the difference when I feel God has written through me or I've written from myself. And there is a big difference.
Yeah.
When God has written through me, it's amazing the things that can happen and how he has not only used me to minister to my reader, but he's ministering to me and teaching me things as I'm writing. So it's, I couldn't pick one over the other.
Okay. Well, this leads me into another question. If people find you on Instagram, which we will discuss at the end of the show on where to find you, they will find that you are funny and you are totally real. And I wanted to ask you, is that hard for you to be that real and let everyone see it?
No, it's not at all. And, you know, to be honest with you, Amber, it came from a place where a few years ago, before I had started the blog project, it's called the first manuscript is called This Wayward Child. And that's how I describe myself, as the wayward child. And I remember encountering women, especially women in my own church, who thought that I was this girl that projected an image of having it all together. But I didn't know that that was the image that I apparently projected onto others.
Oh, interesting.
Right? So, yeah. And that's the thing, is if we want to know what we're really like to other women, ask other women. Like, we have to lay down our pride and ask other women, how do you see me? And what is it that I'm putting out into the world?
Yeah.
And it was literally just because I was teaching and I wasn't writing so much at that time. So when you're just teaching, I mean, these are life lessons that I've learned, and the people that come and listen to me teach, well, they're getting the rawness and the realness. But the women that don't hear it coming out of my mouth aren't seeing the rawness and the realness. They're just assuming an image of you and what you're like. Yeah. Writing changed that for me.
Mm.
Right. So then I was able to go, no, like, listen, this is what I'm really like.
Yeah.
And right. Mm-hmm. And I had actually just taken my Instagram and made it public recently. And it's been really interesting, the feedback that I've gotten from it.
Which then leads me into how we met. And I'll share that really quick with the listeners. When I first started the podcast and started doing the interviews, I had asked several friends to, you know, if they had any friends or people they knew that either had inspiring stories or had something to offer my listeners and something to be encouraged or inspired. So along those lines, and one of my friends, Stacy, she gave me your name along with someone else. And so I just assumed she knew you because she knew the other person. And lo and behold, when you and I are talking on the phone, that she had never met you and she had never talked to you. And she followed you on Instagram because her cousin had followed you and something like that. So, so that was really hilarious because I had no idea. I just assumed she knew you. And I kind of said to her, so what is it that you are liking about this person so that I can kind of talk about that? And she said, she has really great posts. And right. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, on Facebook, on Instagram? Like, I have no idea what she means. And so when I say that Melissa is real, like, she will literally show you a picture of her kitchen, a complete mess. Like, you guys, you know, as moms, it's like, I don't know. It's like you have all these distractions. The kitchen looks like it just blew up. And then the kids, I don't know, they need something. You walk away and you come back and you're like, start it again. And I don't know, somebody else now needs you. And then now you got to take them somewhere. And then you come back and the dishwasher still is not unloaded. The dishes are everywhere. And that's a picture that Melissa had posted. And it was awesome to see that realness, because I feel like so many people have those moments and they try to, you know, pretend they don't happen or they don't want people to see. And she put it out there for everybody. So that's what I mean when I say that she's funny and that she's real, because not many people are brave enough to do that. So I wanted to ask you a fun question, being from Canada. What do you find is the most different from Americans to Canadians?
Oh, man. You know, it's funny because one of my closest friends is American. She's from New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and they're currently living in Toronto right now, which is just a smaller version of New York.
Sure.
And her and I had this discussion, and there is so much different. Like, we're the same,
yeah,
but we're so different. We're very much a culture that keeps to themselves a lot. And I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that it's good or bad one way or the other.
Sure.
I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve.
You're more American.
And it's funny because I get told that all the time. And when I travel for speaking, women in Canada will ask me, because I travel a lot here where I'm from. I go to a lot of different churches and do a lot of speaking, and they'll say, so whereabouts in America are you from? And I go, I'm Canadian. I live in Southern Ontario.
I'm surprised they can't hear that you're not American, because I can hear you're Canadian.
I know. Apparently on stage, I take on a Southern, a Southern twang or something.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
Which, speaking of that, when we first talked, for the very first time, I had told you that I'm from Michigan and that, you know, we're neighbors to Windsor. And so where I grew up, and you had said, oh yeah, I can hear a Michigan, Tennessee accent. You switch between the two, which I thought was hilarious because no one has ever said that to me. And I don't even know what that sounds like, but it's just funny because I was like, oh yeah, I could see how I may revert to some words that Michigan people say differently versus Tennessee may say things differently. And so I just thought that was kind of funny. So it's hilarious that you're saying that you're taking on a Southern accent as a Canadian. So you kind of probably sound similar to me then, if you kind of mix it together.
I know. We're just like a mishmash. I think every time I go somewhere, I just take a little bit of that place with
their
me.
Accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you speak the most?
Here in Ontario.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say to you, what do you find when you go to these speaking engagements? What do you find the women, how they are with you, how they're interacting with you when you're meeting them, and what they're kind of going through? Like, do you find a pattern of how the women are kind of like, I don't know if that's clear enough. Like, you know, do you find that the women that are going to these conferences and listening to you and coming up to you are having similar issues or challenges or going through certain things, or what do you find?
I do. And I think the one common denominator, no matter the speaking engagement, no matter what it is that I'm asked to speak on, often I'll get booked for conferences or, you know, speaking engagements, and they'll say, you know, however you feel led to teach, this is kind of our overall overarching theme. I find women who struggle with abandonment and issues of rejection more than anything else. Mm. And I've met more fatherless women than I could even, like,
yeah,
I'm sure I can even imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking story after heartbreaking story. I actually just spoke at a conference recently, and it was the Sunday morning. So I had spoken at the conference all weekend, and the pastor had asked me to do the Sunday morning message, which was really intimidating for me. And there was a woman there who was in, I'd say about her late 80s, and she was in a wheelchair, and she had beautiful eyes and just the softest skin. And I remember by the Sunday, she had come up to approach me, and she had wanted to talk to me. And I think she was around, you know, 86, 88 years old, she had said. And she told me that she had been dealing with a broken heart, being abandoned as a little girl by her father her whole life.
Wow.
And here I am going, 80 years, you've struggled with feeling unwanted by the father who brought you into this world. So for me, it was this dawning that God has a very clear message for me in this season of life. I mean, there's lots of things that I talk on. There's lots of things that I speak on and I write on. But I think the overarching message for me is my heart's passion is to reach out to women who are the fatherless daughters and to recognize that God really is your daddy, and to be able to put my hand, this is going to bring me to tears, to put my hands as a 36-year-old woman on a woman in her late 80s.
Yeah.
And pray for her, you know, so that she can be free from that abandonment. That was sobering to me.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. I mean, it does bring tears to my eyes because you just think like, wow, to be carrying that with you for so long. Mm-hmm. And you would like to hope as a person who goes through whatever struggle you go through, that as you get older, that you will either grow out of it or you will learn from it or get stronger or whatever. And you see that someone at 86 or 88, whatever she is still having this issue, and it's heartbreaking, mm-hmm. you know, it's really heartbreaking. And so I couldn't imagine being in your spot, being so much younger and then talking mm-hmm. about this and having somebody come up to you. So I can only imagine it was humbling to have somebody come up to you and talk about that. And I mean, how did you walk away from that situation?
Honestly, there comes a point where you just have to take every story and give it over to God.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to, right. I'm just the person in the moment
yes.
that God is mm-hmm. choosing to use as the vessel.
Yeah.
And so it's not as a speaker, it's not taking everything upon your own shoulders, but learning how to just give it over.
Sure.
Give it over.
Yeah.
And so just having to pray for her and then mm-hmm. give it over to God
yeah.
and then move on to the next woman and sure. pray for her and what yeah. her issue may be. So,
yeah. Well, and I wanted to jump into this. It's a little bit away from your speaking stuff, but it's, personal because it's about your girls and their friends. And I wanted to touch on your motto, leave no girl behind. And even though this has nothing to do with dad and daughters or girls and their dads or whatever, but that's the same thing. But how you're also trying to fill this gap with not having girls being left out and feeling so still rejected, even though it's in a different dynamic or different relationship. And so I wanted you to tell us a little bit about how you decided to say, like, let's leave no girls behind.
Okay. I have two daughters. They just turned 5 and 9. And, you know, it's funny because they look just like my husband, but they act just like me. So I basically parent myself all day long. And I remember being a girl. And that's the thing is we forget as women to look to our mothers and remember that they were once a girl. Mm. They have memories. They have thoughts and feelings and things that shaped them into the adult that they are now. And so I remember it was about 3 years ago standing in my kitchen. I was at the kitchen counter and it was one of those days and parenting was just real hard, Amber. Like real hard. Mm, yeah. And my husband was standing there with me and I put my hands on the counter and I said, you know what? I said, I'm making a choice because this choice is mine. And I think there really is something between the hours of like 4 and 7. I know they call them the witching hours. There is something in the air and it like affects every mother. And I'm going to find the joy between the hours of 4 and 7 because those are the hours that can undo the best of mothers and the best of intentions.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to find the joy. And I'm this real mix of like a type A personality and a type B personality. Mm. I'm the middle child and I have a lot of those middle child syndrome issues. And so I can't stand the chaos and clutter around me. I have a really hard time with it. And I realized that that was something in me that I was projecting onto other people or projecting onto my family. And it's not my standard for them. It was my standard for myself. And I think I got to this place where I realized that standard for myself was wrong. And so I said to my daughters, we're going to embrace these hours and we're going to be loving towards people and mommy's going to let the mess go. I'm going to set it aside and I'm going to let it go because we can always clean it up later. And we live in this neighborhood full of young families and full of kids and full of little girls. Mm. There are little girls coming out of the woodworks around here. And they were all started showing up on my front porch. And my doorbell would go, it'd be 4 o'clock. And there'd be little knocks and little hands and little handprints. And the doorbell would go. And I started saying to my daughters, when a girl comes to the door, you leave no girl behind. My daughter had opened the door one day and she already had a friend upstairs playing. Mm. And another friend was standing on the porch and she said, I'm so sorry. I can't play right now. I have another friend upstairs playing. And I could see the reaction on this little girl's face. And she was about 6.
Mm.
And just her heart fell because it was that you could see like jealousy coming out and like this rejection. And I said, no, Avery, we leave no girl behind. Hmm. And my daughter thought that was the coolest thing. And she said, come on in and come play. And so now it's been 3 years. She's 9 now. And the girls all in the neighborhood, kids in the neighborhood just know that we leave. I had 7 children in my house playing yesterday. One was a little boy and 6 little girls. And it just started from there. And I just recognized that it takes a generation for change to happen. Yeah. And so I needed to start with my daughters if they were going to be the change that the world tells them that they need to be, that it was my responsibility to start that when they were little and they'll do it forward with their kids. And it's, you know, it no girl behind is like no kid behind. No kid ever gets left behind.
Yeah.
And so that's where it came from. And that's been our house motto next to our family motto. We have a family motto with our kids, and we're the Sharps. We're stronger together than we are apart.
I love it.
Yeah. My cousin came up with that, and he'll do like the little hand over hand, and we'll do the hurrah.
Oh, that's cool. And, I love it. Yeah.
So we actually made a banner and put it up in our house, and we traced all of our handprints on it.
Aww.
And we colored them in, and my husband's looks like, you know, Green Bay Packer hands, and my girls are, you know,
little
rainbows, yeah. And they're little, and, yeah. And we wrote our family logo on it, and we put it up in our house.
I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, it takes us recognizing that we need to maybe change the things that we learned as a kid and not bring them forward.
Yeah.
You know, but get into that place where you recognize what your issues were and what you struggled with is really where it begins.
Well, and I wanted to ask you, so does your older daughter have homework now?
Yeah, she started grade 4 and she has homework now. It's starting to come home. And just yesterday, she made this like offhanded comment. I asked her when this project was due and she's like, I don't know, sometime in November. And I'm like, sister, it is November. And she said, well, I don't know when it's due. And I said, I've passed fourth grade. So it's not really my job to find out when this project
is your due. Job.
This is yours. You better find out tomorrow at school and come home and work on that project. So yes, we're starting to come home with homework.
So how are you doing the No Girl Left Behind, letting them play, but then also she needs to get her homework done. So like, if you can tell us how you're doing that, I think listeners would love to hear that.
So I kick all the kids out of my house at 5:15.
Okay. So they can come over at 4 and they got to leave at 5:15.
They got to leave by 5:15. Okay. We have a couple stragglers, you know, it'd be 5:19 and they're pushing it.
Yep.
And they leave and I'll try and get dinner on the table as fast as I can.
Okay.
I know for a lot of working moms, it's a difficult balance. And my heart goes out to all the working moms that work a full-time career job for sure. And I try to get dinner on the table and then we've got to go into some quiet time, which often is working on some homework and doing a little bit of reading and that type of thing. So it usually doesn't take longer than 30 minutes.
So are you doing your cooking when the girls are over and playing?
Yes.
Okay.
And do you know what? It works. It works in my house only because my kitchen
is open.
If you go on my Instagram, you'll see. But my kitchen is open to my family.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, so you can see everything. That's how my kitchen is too. Yeah,
exactly. And so I'm busy. And this is what I learned: is you always keep your door open. Your door open and your ear to the ground.
Mm. Yeah.
Because things that kids will tell you or they'll tell each other and you look like you're busy. So I'm like chopping that onion.
Oh, yeah. They think you're not listening.
They think you're not listening.
Yes.
And you're hearing everything. Mm. And then you bring it up in conversations later with your kids.
I love it.
Yeah. Like, you know, when so-and-so said that, like, how did that make you feel? What do you think she meant when she said that?
Yeah.
You know, so always look busy, but be alert.
Well, and I was just thinking too, because I know that the working moms are probably listening to this as well, and their kids might be in SAC or they have to that's the aftercare here, and or they're going somewhere, I don't know where, but you know, this is something that if you think this is a great idea, you could always attempt to do this on a Saturday or a Sunday, you know, where you let people come in and then you're doing the dinner and then they can leave, just to give your kids that experience, because I do know that working moms, they're having to hustle to get home, like throw food in their mouths and do the homework and be like, get ready for bed. So I do know that there's more flexibility, obviously, when a mom is home. So I just wanted to put that out there that you can always try that on a Saturday and Sunday and it would still give the same feeling. So we're almost at the end of the show, Melissa, and I know that you are working on an upcoming project. Do you want to share with us what that is?
Well, for the app, I'm writing my 6th devotional series for Advent. So it'll be launching on the Gateway app. You can find it on iTunes, on Google. It's Gateway, and it's a green icon that you'll find with a window. And it's an Advent series. So I'm actually writing on the promises of God, which is interesting because it's exactly what I'm walking through in my own life right now. And It's going to be exciting. I'm doing a lot of homework, a lot of research on it right now. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then I'm starting my second manuscript, which is on the forging. And it's a working title right now, but how we are forged and what that really looks like in our life when we have to go through really hard stuff.
Mm. Now, let me just back up for the app. You were saying you're working on the Advent. Can you explain to listeners that may not be familiar what that is, or and what is that going to be for 25 days, the devotional, or what does that look like kind of?
Yeah, Advent is the 25 days before Christmas. So it starts December 1st and it goes right through to December 25th. I actually wrote my first Advent series. It just happens to be the season that we're in right now, which is the next series, Advent, coming up. On the app, you can find all the other series that I've written. It's interesting. Last year when I wrote the first one that was Advent, I had never done an Advent devotional, as in I had never read one, let alone have I written one. And so that was a huge step for me, a step of faith. I had to do a lot of homework and a lot of studying on that one. And it went so well. I was so excited about it. I actually was counting down the Jewish messianic prophecies from Scripture of the coming Messiah and why we celebrate Christmas in the way that we do. And it was called Forged for Our Hope. And so this year I was asked to do it again, and I'm pretty excited. So I'm writing on the promises of God and really what that looks like. I think that faith is very messy sometimes. We want to tie it up in a pretty little box, and we can't. We can't put God in a box because he's God. And so what are, you know, the face value promises that we are given that we can hold on to for this hope? So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think that will be great. And do you want to share with everyone where they can find you, either social media or websites?
I'm launching a new website right now, which you'll be, we're in the process of doing it. So you can find me right now currently on elizabethshouse.ca, and we're relaunching it. I believe it'll be melissasharp.ca soon. And you can find me on Instagram, Melissa P. Sharp, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, and there's an E on the end of Sharp. Find me on Instagram. You can follow me along. That is probably, I'm a visual learner, so Instagram is my favorite outlet.
Yeah.
And I like to be as real as possible. This whole, you know, adulting thing, this whole parenting thing, this whole mommy thing is really tough, but it's so fun and funny. Like the things that my kids do and say is just hilarious. So I like to put it out on social media, and my 9-year-old freaks out inside and says, "Don't put that on Instagram. I don't want anybody to read it."
I love
it. So it's awesome. Yeah,
I love
she's
it.
Awesome.
So as we close, this is the Mom Inspired Show after all, and I want to embrace everyone's strengths, and I want women to be inspired by other women's gifts. So with that, I want to ask, what would you say is your greatest strength or something that you're really proud of?
Amber, that's a hard one.
I know, but you have to pick something. You have to be good at something.
Do you know what? You know what? There's a lot of things that I am not good at.
Okay, but and we're not going to focus on that.
Right. And I own it, and I'm happy that there's lots of things I'm not good at.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm really good at, I think, is writing.
Mm.
There is just a way that writing gives me an outlet to use words that I wouldn't use in everyday language.
Sure.
You know, and it's poetic, and you can be raw and vulnerable and real, and then you can sit behind your computer and not, you know, worry what anybody's thinking, because you know it's going to resonate with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm probably proud, most proud of the things that I've written in the last 3 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I had so much fun talking with you, as always. And I know a lot of moms will appreciate your rawness, as I know they can relate to what you're saying. And this won't be the last time we'll be chatting on the Mom Inspired Show. So I can't wait to have you back on the show in the near future.
Thanks, Amber. I appreciate that.
And there you have it. Thank you for listening to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg. If you enjoyed this show, please feel free to share this with your friends and mom groups. That way we can help more moms. To do that, send them to our website at mominspiredshow.com where they can find and listen to the episodes. Thanks, guys. See you next week.